Welcome to The Slotted Lamb, a movies-by-minute watch of the John Landis written and directed 1981 horror classic, An American Werewolf in London. I'm your host, Troy, and I want to thank you for joining me on this journey.
All right, so it's the end of the week, Friday, and we are going to be talking about minute 87, and this is going to start off with I Know Where You Can Get a Gun, and ends with David moans and groans going along with the movie. After being reintroduced to his victims by Jack from the night before, David finds himself in a porno theater talking over with the undead ways to end his life. As we start this minute, Joseph, who is currently and still the only one of the trio still to be turned around looking towards David, and mentions he has information about acquiring a particular weapon that has just been brought up by Harry, who is part of the couple that were David's first victims from last night.
I know where you can get a gun.
At the suggestion of the firearm, David now, puzzled, asks,
Don't I need a silver bullet or something?
Jack almost mockingly questions his belief about the situation.
Oh, be serious, would you?
Realizing either that what he has just said or the actual situation he finds himself in, David gives out a little
madness.
Now the barrage of gun use starts with a play between a few of the undead. To begin, Harry is encouraging about the idea. Again, still all smiles.
Oh, a gun would be good.
Judith backs up that idea and expands on it. Again, like Harry, she is very upbeat.
Yes, you just put the gun to your forehead and pull the trigger.
Then we have Gerald chime in on this portion of the conversation with his own twist in the plan that comes across as sounding like he would rather enjoy it if David were to choose that path.
But if you put it in your mouth, you'd be sure not to miss.
David nods in acknowledgement of the suggestions. He also seems to be perceiving the fact that Gerald seems to be enjoying this exchange of ideas for David's demise.
Thank you. You're all so thoughtful.
Then after a quick pause, Elf turns around with a slight delighted offer.
A knife.
Harry and Judith look delighted with the idea, and then Harry offers up his own.
An electric shock.
Quickly followed by Judith upping the scale.
A car crash?
The couple react in a way as if they are playing some sort of party game and that they are pretty much overjoyed with their choices. Then it's time for Gerald to join in on the party game by adding...
You could throw yourself in front of a tube.
Then the final word we get from Joseph, who currently just gives up the simple act of...
drowning.
And now we are shown the outside world. It is night. A black sky hangs above the busy area of Piccadilly Circus. The north side neon wall is lit to its brightest, and colors flash and give the illusion of movement. The sound of vehicles fill the air, and a double-decker bus drives by. Elmer Bernstein, his score returns as it swells to match the sound of the city at night. We are given another view of the streets from across the crosswalk. We watch as a group of pedestrians gather on an opposing corner. Several taxis make their way along the very busy streets. Now we witness another venue. A group of men sit on the stoop of a shop whose security gate is down. They look to be chatting and smoking. Another group of people stand off to the side near a post. Cars continue to pass through the shot. Quickly to another, where it's an aerial shot looking down on a crosswalk, being used by almost a dozen people. Light from the neon wall reflects on the street, but is mirrored in the water that is on the sidewalk. The night must be clouded over because the next shot shows a couple under an umbrella. Walking, followed by a second couple. The pathway is slick with water reflecting the neon signs nearby, which change colors as the advertisements flash. Now a closer shot of the statue that stands in the center of the circus with the Canon/Coca-Cola/Fujifilm sign in the background. The statue being the Shaftesbury Memorial Fountain, popularly but incorrectly known as Eros, is a fountain surmounted by a winged statue of Anteros. Located at the southeastern side of Piccadilly Circus in London, moved there after the Second World War from its original position in the center of the circus. It was erected in 1892-93 to commemorate the Philharmonic works of the 7th Earl of Shaftesbury in Victoria, the Victorian politician and philanthropist, and his achievements in placing child labor with school education. The fountain overlooks the southeast side of the Shaftesbury Avenue, also named for an earl. The fountain actually is made of both aluminum and bronze, and stands 1,097 centimeters tall and 518 centimeters wide. It is at this moment that Elmer Bernstein's score then switches to something more ominous, as the dark clouds above start to move to reveal the full moon. Now, back inside the theater, we see the four men still spread out in the seats, and the lonely David is in the back row, suddenly gives out a groan of pain and grabs at his head. The soundtrack of the porno provides pleasurable moans and groans, while David's are painful and torturous. He goes from grabbing his head to grabbing the back of the seat in front of him, where he starts to try to uproot the chair simply by forcefully pushing and pulling on it. At this time, the sound of his pain and anguish escape his clenched teeth. Just as the minute is about to wrap up, we are given a close-up of the movie where Chris Bailey, played by Gypsy Dave Cooper, is in the position of mounting Brenda Bristles, played by Lindsay Drew. Both their passionate sounds can be heard along with the jazzy synth music that, mind you, has been playing for the entire week of episodes. David's sounds of pain join in the choir of sounds. Now, well, Thursday's episode, we had the end of the list of John Landis's films that have a reference to the See You Next Wednesday. There is also several other non-John Landis properties that have the actual reference to See You Next Wednesday, and I'm just going to give a brief summary. There is actually quite a bit, but I'm just going to give a couple of my favorites from this list. For example, in the Video Pirates sequence of Amazon Women on the Moon from 1987, the pirates found a treasure chest filled with golden video cassettes. Among the numerous in-jokes visible on the tapes, one of the cassettes is labeled See You Next Wednesday. John Landis did direct several segments of the film. The Video Pirate segment is directed by a frequent Landis collaborator, Robert K. Wise. The movie poster of An American Werewolf in London, of the American Werewolf in London version of See You Next Wednesday, The Nonstop Orgy, is in the Tower Records store in the last sketch of the movie. In the video game, which is kind of neat, NetHack, the phrase "See you next Wednesday" can appear as graffiti on the floor. In the movie Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, The film's name is on the marquee of the theater in a shot of the street, but it's slightly obscured so you don't see it all, but it does read, "See you next Wednesday." The video for Michael Bublé's song Hollywood features a cinema showing "See You Next Wednesday." In the season 6 episode of Psych entitled "This Episode Sucks," "See You Next Wednesday" is referenced. In the Doctor Who 2013 episode Nightmare in Silver, written by Neil Gaiman, the Doctor's companion Clara Oswald uses the phrase as a goodbye late in the episode. An issue of Ghost Rider 2099 has it written on a wall in one of the frames. In Sharknado 5, a theater marquee displays "See You Next Wednesday," with showings at 1:30 and 6 o'clock. The movie poster shows a dancing couple and the apparent stars of the movie are Price, Goodman, Kessler, and Hirsch. The first names are not quite legible, and as we know, these are the surnames of four of the main characters of our movie. Over on the commentary track, once the list of how David should kill himself is done, the shot of Piccadilly Square at night is shown. David Naughton sounds reflective with a short "hmm," followed by a "well," before Griffin Dunn puts forth a notion that that sequence is just classic Landis. A light tone, very grim, all different ways of killing yourself, a porno in the background. It's what makes this movie really so special. According to the script, scene 82, interior cinema day, the sequence of everyone pointing out ways for David to end his life plays out as it does in the movie. However, the script ends the conversation after David thanks everyone for being so thoughtful. It just states that the conversation continues and the camera pulls back from the grisly tableau. David grabs his head suddenly, so the conversation about the knife, electric shock, car crash, and jumping in front of the tube and drowning are just in the movie. Cut to scene 83, exterior, Big Ben, night. The clock strikes 11. The full moon is up, which is much different than the night shots of Piccadilly Circus. And scene 84, interior, cinema, night. David is dripping wet and shaken violently. And again, just to remind you, the script version has three small children, the oldest 9, standing in the aisle, staring at him. When it comes to the radio drama, much of the sequence is the same when it is in comparison to the film. However, as the list of ways to David off himself are spoken, the group as a whole seems to sound as if they are enjoying making this list, when compared to the movie where only Harry and Judith seem to be in good spirits. In the radio play, everyone starts to get in on the on that pace. Also, once the list is complete, again, like the movie, drowning is the last option, David starts to make the beginnings of pained sounds. Then Jack offers up the phrase, "Moon's rising." Then there is no more theater sounds as we only hear the cranking sounds of gears in a large clock as its timepiece counts down to the ringing of an hour, which we also hear the gong ringing quite loudly.
And on that note, that brings us to the end of another minute of An American World from London, and the end of this episode of Welcome to the Slaughtered Lamb. So be sure to subscribe to this podcast on either Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favorite podcast catchers. And if you'd be so kind as to share, rate, and review us, that would be really cool too.
If you feel like following this podcast on the social medias, you can follow Planet Geek Pod, all one word, on Instagram and Twitter. And if you would like to send us a message via email, send it to planetgeekpod@gmail.com. So until next time, remember, keep off the moors, stick to the roads, best of luck. Blue moon.